Today on Real Radio.
These are the Ten Commandments. They stand as witnesses for all time and eternity of what? Of two things at the very least. Number one, God's holiness. God is holy. He is without sin. He's not some whimsical, emotional human being. He doesn't flit from high and low or from melancholy to sanguine. He is God and he's not a human being. Are you ready for that? He had to become a human being to relate to us. You want to talk about alien? God is other than what you are.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Ruth. We're now looking at the final chapter of this four-chapter narrative. Of course, the account so far is how Ruth and Boaz meet and fall in love. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Love Made Public.
So it says, now Boaz went up to the gate and sat there. Now the gate of the city, it's amazing, in several days we're going to be there. The gate of the city is where they did business. You went there to do civil transactions, personal transactions. There were lawyers there, or I should say those that were schooled in biblical, the rabbinical and Levitical laws to help you with. And it's a very important concept in the Jewish mind today even. But back then, they would literally go to the gates of the city and business would be conducted. You know, today we have boardroom meetings, right? Or we'll meet you at this place and we'll have a meeting. It was a place of decision-making and transaction securement. Came to an agreement, the transaction secured, it's legal, it's done. So Boaz gets up and it's got to be early. Because remember, he sends her home while it's still dark last week. He sends her home in the morning while it's still dark. He gets up and scoots along. You can just see him on that giddy up donkey. Here we go. You know, he's got that thing going to town. And he gets to the gates and he sits down. And look what it says here. It says, and he sat down there, and behold, the near kinsman of whom Boaz had spoken came by. What do you think the chances of that was? This guy gets up in the morning, and no, he had no idea, but the Lord was leading, though we don't even know his name. The Lord is leading this guy right to a meeting with Boaz. He doesn't have a clue. You know, God's working in your life like that. Just before first service this morning, a mother came in. She says, I want you to pray, please. My son, 7 years old, he has cancer. He's not expected to live very long. What do you do with that? What do you say? You know, I don't know much, and the longer I live, the less I know. That is for sure. But I'm starting to catch on to something in my life and in your life and in life, that I'm starting to see God more at work behind the scenes than I see him in front of my nose. Does that make sense to you? You know what? I'm learning not to panic anymore when things... I didn't say I got it down, okay? I said I'm learning not to panic so much when it just isn't coming together. Because you know what? Maybe it's not supposed to come together because God's got another plan. Or maybe he's going to bring it together a whole different way that you don't know about. I am learning that he works behind the scenes. He works in secret. The book of Isaiah says, behold, I am the Lord and I do a strange work in the earth. He does weird things quietly, subtly sometimes, rarely extravagantly. I think maybe never extravagantly except in creation and at the cross. And that will be interrupted, I believe, by the rapture of the church. He's quiet. He's still. We want flash in the pan, stars. We want lights and we want all kinds of hype. And God doesn't do that. And we'll say, God, where are you? Listen, this guy gets up in the morning and he just, well, I think I'll go. No, I think I'm going to go over here. And he happens to go by where Boaz is waiting. I love how God does this stuff. What's going on in your life? Have you seen what's happened in your life lately when things are like this? Gee, I've got to go get some fish tacos. I'm craving fish tacos. I got it. El Taco Nazo over here in the corner by Big Five Sporting Goods. Best Ensenada-style fish tacos. I got to have one. And the refried beans, they're hand-panned out, handmade right there. I got to have it. Amen. Let's go, brother. Amen. You startled me. And you think, well, this is just a craving. Oh, I want those fish tacos. And you go over there, and there's somebody from the church, and they're there, and they're all by themselves, and they're crying, and their plates. And I thought I was going there for fish tacos. God had a plan. Doesn't he do that in your life? Oh, I've got to go get some lettuce. I can't believe I forgot the lettuce. And you wind up bumping into somebody who needs your love. Isn't that amazing? This guy, Boaz, is sitting there. He's watching this guy. He's looking for him. And the guy comes by. And I bet Boaz probably said, "Thank you, Lord." He's looking for God in his situations of life. Looking for him behind the scenes. And so the near kinsman of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So he said, "Come sit down, friend. Sit down here." So he came and he sat down. And watch this. He took 10 men, elders of the city, 10 witnesses, and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Wait a minute, Boaz, what are you doing? Okay, look, we know you're going to do a transaction, but we know by law you only need 2 more witnesses. There only needs to be 4 guys total. If he really wants to go out, if he really wants to really express it big, you go get 3 witnesses, so there's 5 total. He goes and gets 10 guys, 10 witnesses. Why? 10 witnesses to mark the transaction, because first of all, it's that important to Boaz. He wants to make it absolutely secure, and he wants, listen, to make his love and his commitment for Ruth public. And I want you to think for a second. Were these 10 guys to witness this transaction for Boaz's benefit or for Boaz and Ruth's benefit? For both their benefit. Not only for both their benefit, but for their children and for their children's children. I want you to think for a moment. Think of 10 witnesses that right now this morning are there and they're seated and they're immovable. They're 10 witnesses that speak of every aspect of our lives, all 10, wrap them right up. One person might represent a certain thing, thou shalt not covet. Another one might have a special interest in mind. He's kind of more focused on a certain area, and he's thinking, you shall have no other God before me. Another one says, I'm concerned about lying, and so you shall not bear false witness. These are the 10 commandments. They stand as witnesses for all time and eternity of what? Of 2 things at the very least. Number one, God's holiness. God is holy. He is without sin. He's not some whimsical, emotional human being. He doesn't flit from high and low or from melancholy to sanguine. He is God and he's not a human being. Are you ready for that? He had to become a human being to relate to us. That's serious. You want to talk about alien. God is other than what you are. He had to make himself a human being to relate to us. He is our creator. God created the ants, but he's not an ant. God created the pelican, but he's not a pelican. God created the human, but he's not a human. I know there are cults knocking on your door saying God is an exalted human. That's blasphemous, heresy, and the Bible speaks very much contrary to that. It was a big deal, I think the greatest miracle of all, when Paul told Timothy that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was revealed in human flesh. John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And listen, the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. That's a big deal. The law stands to show that God is holy. God does not covet. God does not lie. God does not desire somebody else's wife. God does not. You see? 10 witnesses Boaz has in front of him. Representation of the law symbolically. You might say, well, that's reading a lot into it. Oh, man. This whole book, though it's an actual book, is very symbolic. Boaz is Jewish and wealthy landowner. She's a poor Gentile girl, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ. Boaz is just like a type of Jesus himself. Naomi is a wonderful type of Israel. Listen, it says here that he took these 10 witnesses and they sat down. Then he said, now watch this, then he said to the near kinsman, watch this quote, and believe it or not, we're not far from being done, and it's going to be fun stuff. He says, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. Now, brother here can mean cousin. Somehow he's blood related, this man is. Doesn't mean his actual brother. They didn't share the same womb. And I thought to inform you, I love the word, it means to unplug your ears. I want your ears to be unplugged to hear this loud and clear, saying this. Buy back, here it is, mark it down. This is phase one of the deal. Are you ready? Buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it. And after you, I'm next. And the man said to Boaz, I'll redeem it. Now just about then, possibly, Boaz's heart sunk. He could care less about the land. Did he need more land? No. He wanted Ruth. He loved her. Listen, where's Ruth right now? Just keep her in your mind, filed away. Where is she? She's back home. What is she doing? Knitting booties or something. She's back home taking it easy, isn't she? She's waiting. Remember, we left her there that last week. Waiting. Where's Boaz? Doing all the dealing. That's phase one. If you're going to buy it, whoever this guy is, Joe, if you're going to buy it, Joe, buy it. Redeem it. You're the one that's in line. After you, it's me. So if you're going to buy it, buy it. The guy says, I'll buy it. Look what the next verse says. Oh, I've got such a deal. Naomi's back in town. Want to buy your land? Buy it. If not, you know, let me know. Okay, I'll buy it. Hey, I got nothing. Listen. Listen here. If you buy it, you got to take Ruth to be your wife, too. See, so he's holding back this bomb. It's so cool. And the guy goes, wait a minute. You didn't mention that earlier. I don't want a wife, and it's going to mess up my own inheritance. And then according to Levitical law, Jewish law, Deuteronomy 25 and Leviticus, according to the law of our land and of our God, I've got to take her to be my wife, and she's got to have a boy eventually, and then I got to raise kids and us. Oh, forget it. I don't want the hassle. And Boaz, I do. Boaz is like, I'll take it. In front of 10 witnesses, the deal is struck. I wish we could keep going. Time doesn't permit, but verse 7 goes on to a really fun legal action that they do about the shoe and everything. It's really cool. Making it all binding. The culture, it's fun. And they'll be bartering. They'll be talking back and forth. You think they're going to kill each other. Oh, my gosh, there's going to be a war. And all they're doing is saying, are you going to come to my house tonight? Or are we going over to yours? It's like they're going to kill each other. And so all this is going on. And it's love being made public. He wants Ruth. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Listen, where? Publicly. Publicly. The Bible says in John's Gospel, at the end of the chapter, I think it's chapter 22, somewhere around there in John's Gospel, says That, chapter 20, something, you look at it later, I don't know, I forget. He says that all the things that Jesus did, if they were written down in books, there's not enough books in the world to contain them all. That's love made public, friend. Jesus says, hey, you coming after me? What for? Everything I've said what? Publicly. Everything I've done in the open. Why have you come to take me secretly? Jesus went to the cross in front of the world and hung on it between heaven and hell for us. Boaz goes to the wall as a type of Christ to take a bride. Jesus, the Bible says, out of his death would purchase for himself a peculiar people. The word means strange. So look around. He loves us. He died on the cross for us. Does that offend you? Do you have a better deal? Yeah, I'll save myself. You can't save yourself. It's impossible. The fact of the matter is, his love was made public, that in the ages to come he might show forth the riches of his glory of grace. Ephesians tells us, for eternity he's going to broadcast his grace by redeeming that which could not be redeemed. That which was lost and bankrupt, that's us. There were four specific things that led to the need of redemption. Four specific things in the Jewish mind that led to redemption. Listen to them, but make them personal. Number one, something first had to be lost or in foreclosure. Number two, its losses in its operation, its losses had to exceed or be greater than its profits, obviously. In other words, you're running in the red. You're losing. You might say, gosh, you're describing my business. Well, that's the easy part. Some families are in this situation. Well, listen, not only families, but every human being on the face of the earth is in this condition. Listen, I know we look nice and we're all dutied up for Sunday morning, but you know what? The fact of the matter is that inside we're lost, we're bankrupt. Our losses exceed our profits spiritually. We need help. If that offends you, that's pride. And God says in Proverbs, that's one of the great seven sins that I cannot stand is pride. Division and lying, and he goes on to mention a few others. The third thing is that the redeemed had to select, or the redeemed had to be selected by the Redeemer. The Redeemer chooses who or what was to be redeemed. Watch this. It's the sovereignty, it's the choice of the Redeemer. The Redeemer says, I want this blue curtains, and I want that black donkey, and I want that cow. Choice. He is redeeming them out of the marketplace. That's what the word redemption means, to buy back out of loss, out of debt. The Redeemer is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he says himself, letters in red, you did not choose me, I chose you. John 15 says even before the world was ever laid, he chose us. So listen, one of the ways to get into heaven is to, number one, you need to realize that you're in foreclosure spiritually, and that spiritually your losses exceed your profit. And then the third thing is that you need to be selected by the Redeemer. Let me ask you, have you been selected by the Redeemer? Well, I don't know. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have him deliver you into heaven based upon what he's done on the cross? If you can say yes to that, then you've been selected by the Redeemer. If you say no to that, then you haven't been selected by the Redeemer. Well, wait a minute, I don't like that thing. What's my options? Choose Christ or reject Christ. The choice is yours. Well, what's at risk? Eternity. Eternity without him? eternity with him. Every human being in this room and in life will live forever. Daniel 12 and John 5 tells us eternally, either in heaven or in hell. And hell is simply a place where God is not. Nobody wants to hear these kinds of things anymore, do they? The Bible says today, choose whom you'll follow. Well, wait a minute. I find this a little bit touchy because what if I want Christ? If you want him, choose him. If you have not been chosen by Christ in eternity, you could care less about what I'm talking about. You're saying, what? Get out of here. Just be quiet, will you? Man, I want to go to brunch. I want to get out of here. You're probably, at least you're not listening or you're not chosen. Well, wait a minute, I want to be chosen. Then say, Jesus, I want you. As simple as that. Well, I don't know if I like it. Well, you've liked a choice in everything else in your life, haven't you? Love made public. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago on a cross. And I want to end with this thought. I wasn't there. I wish I would have been there. But Don Stewart, you know Don, he had taken a group of people to Israel, and he was given a teaching at the empty tomb there in Jerusalem, right at the base, by the way, of Golgotha. Golgotha, the word appears in your Bible. It's the place of the skull, Golgotha. It looks like a skull, just like it. Maybe you've seen pictures. It looks just like a skull. Jesus was crucified on top of that hill. It's also known as Moriah. It's where Abraham offered Isaac. Same spot. It's also known as Calvary. You go to Calvary Chapel today. Sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? Skull Chapel. That's what it means, Golgotha Chapel. Aye, mate, we go to Skull Chapel. You know? Isn't that a weird name, isn't it? Who would have named a church Calvary Chapel? Weird. Calvary Chapel. Skull, the place of the skull. Why? That's where Jesus was crucified. But below that, it's an empty tomb. And Don Stewart's given a teaching. And this one guy walks by and he goes, you guys are nuts. Hello. You guys are here worshiping. Get a grip. It's an empty tomb. There's nothing there, will ya? Get with it. Hey, the guy we worship, we can go check out his bones. And Don goes, exactly right. Our book says that this guy that we follow, God Almighty, would be risen from the dead. It's an empty tomb, buddy. He's not here because he's in heaven alive. Well, our guy's dead. And the guy walked away. Isn't that cool? I like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth and the first 6 verses of chapter 4. It's a presentation called Love Made Public. The Old Testament narrative of Ruth meeting Boaz is not only a beautiful love story, but significant in terms of genealogy. If you want to be better versed in the Messiah's lineage, as found in, say, Matthew chapter 1, for instance, the book of Ruth is a great work to study. So we're making available Pastor Jack's series through the book of Ruth on MP3 CD. Here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll be glad to send it your way. Just ask for the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. You may also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.